Good. You know, I stand before you today. I can't top Miss Martha Kay. Can't do it. Because what you saw right there was a glimpse of what we should be doing, because she's journaling her prayers. She's writing love letters to God. And it's one of the sweetest things. I've done it. I've experienced. I've done it too. You can go. I don't know if all y'all know this, but this is all a big book of how I feel and what's going on in my life, that we keep notes and we keep journals and we look back on how God's answered prayers from time to time. And if you notice that letter that she was writing probably backed up probably how many years ago? About three years in that area. Yeah, a long time. And it's good when we're able to channel that, because it helps us. It helps us as Christians stay focused on what we're trying to do. It's a huge part of it. If you have never tried it, I encourage you to do it, to get into a comfy, relaxed, quiet space and write. Journal it to God. It doesn't matter if your handwriting's sloppy, or if you like the computer thing, or if you like to send yourself a text, do it. I don't care. But journal it in a way, and you'll be surprised at the end of it what you go back and read and how you can see how God's been working in your life. Today, I want to talk to you about who is the goat. Who is the goat? What does goat represent, Trey? Greatest of all time. We use that. We see that acronym. I shared with this on our Wednesday night crew. We see this acronym all over the place now. Who is the goat? Bah. I can't do a goat noise. Bah. How's it? Mary Jackson, goat noise. Bah. Who did it, Trey? Who did it? Somebody over here sounded good. Go. Hit it. Bah. Yeah. So who is the goat? Who is the greatest of all time? And we also know that. Anybody else want to do a goat noise? I didn't mean to cut it short. Michael McDaniel, you want one? No, okay, you're going to pass. All right, just keep it to yourself. I bet he'll do it on the way home for his kids. That's when it happens, in the car on the way home. Now this is the best goat. let's stay focused, because they're screaming goats too. Anyway, we're bringing it back in. Today we're going to be in Acts 3:1-16, and I want to look as we get ready to start this week at our VBS. We all have to be mission minded. We all have to have the servant's heart this week that we so desperately need. That there will be no yay yay in between the workers or anything like that. That we will have our hearts and our minds set on the mission of fulfilling what God has given us to do. This is VBS, Vacation Bible School, is one of the biggest outreaches there is in Baptist churches, believe that or not. A lot of you were probably products of VBS. Steve Wainwright, very good. That we went as children and we learned more about Jesus. And we learned that was something that we grew accustomed to. I have a family that doesn't attend church regularly, and they call me every year and say, when is VBS? My kids are excited, and we want them in here. We want to witness to them and love on them. We want them to see, because if you can get a child in here, oh, that child can do wonders to that parents. They'll drive them crazy. Amen, Leslie? That's right. That's exactly right. Trey knows. He got like 12 kids. Key point to this today, following Jesus and fulfilling his mission. That's our key point today that I want you to take home with you. If you take away anything else, and I know you're going to take away a lot from what Miss Martha Kay shared with us, but we want to fix our thoughts on Jesus, because he is the greatest of all time. He is, hands down. Let's have if you have your Bibles with you today, Acts chapter 3. And we're going to look at Peter and John and what they did in their time, and how that God gives us missions all the time. and that we need to always be ready. Acts 3, we're going to open up with 1 through 10 right there. I know that's a long verse, but I'm gonna make it happen today. 3, 1 through 10, and then we'll have 11 through 16. 1 through 10 says, Acts 3, 1 through 10, Peter heals a lame beggar. I'm reading out of a NIV Bible. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried into the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. So when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. He was expecting to get money. And Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, he began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God, is what it says. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Our VBS scripture, which Trey showed you today, Philippians 1 through 6, says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." We are all building our life upon that rock, block by block, stone by stone. We are building our life. We are, it says, God has given us the blueprints. Think about that for just a second. I'm not no house builder, and I've built a thing or two in the past, and I put together a tree house. I've put together one of them plastic swing sets. That didn't fall apart. I built a plastic house one time. I'm not the best. If you gave me a set of blueprints and said, "I need you to build this," well, it's gonna be a little bit cattywampus. You ever heard of that? No, you ever heard of that phrase? It's going to be cattywampus. And my wife knows that better than anybody. She's learned to accept the cattywampusness that's going to happen, because that's a word. That's a big word, but that's a word. You get what I'm saying. But if I gave John Threlkeel those same blueprints, it'd be in perfection. He would have the blueprint to follow, and he would know exactly what to do. God gives us the best set of blueprints he could ever give us, right here. That if we follow this, and that if we apply it to our lives, and that if we study it, and that if we take it to heart, and that we journal what we see, just like Miss Martha Kay told y'all, if we journal it and we see and we apply it to our lives, we'll be following the blueprints of God. That's what we're going to be teaching the kids at VBS this week. Following those blueprints and how important it is that God gives us his word, his holy and true word. Would you believe that this is the absolute truth, the only absolute truth in the whole world that we have? This is it. This is why it's so important to us. This is our absolute truth. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed." God-breathed, okay? That's in your Bible. Go look it up. And it says, "And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, as we see with Peter and John, as I started you right back off in 3 right there, what was their mission? They were just going to pray. It tells you right there. One day they were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. They were on their mission. Now, do you believe that God gives you missions every week, every day? He does. Now it's up to us to find those missions and look and see where God's impressing on us. But would you believe if I told you a lot of times there's a mission within your mission? Oh, amen, there is. Peter and John saw it right here. So they were just on the way. Their first mission was to go pray. Well, they got hit with a mission within a mission when they came across the lame man. Now their mission's changed. They hadn't abandoned the first mission. I'm sure they're going to get to that. But first, we've got another mission that just popped up. You ever been told God works in mysterious ways? Hey, amen. Everybody agree with that. God works in our lives each and every day. Are we perfect? No. We fall short. We do. As with Peter and John, their mission was to pray. But they soon found out there was a mission within that mission. They were being put in the path of that person. Our mission, Matthew 28 tells us, is to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what it is. That's our mission, is to always be ready. It says, Peter and John gave what they had. Jesus gave you all that you need to give to those around you. Four things right there. You could give. Let me just list out what you could give. And you go, and you tell me, there's nothing I can give. There's nothing I can do. I'm so stressed out, or I'm so overwhelmed. I have so much going on in my life that I just couldn't see that. But when you take the time to open your eyes and look at just what's right there, you can easily give a word of encouragement. You could easily give a prayer for healing. Yes, you could. You could easily give a listening ear, not a talkative mouth, a listening ear. There's a reason God gave us two of those and one of these. Amen? Amen, right? You know what I'm saying. Or you could give resources. I'm not telling you we're not all therapists, but you could always give somebody resources. Or, hey, I might know somebody I could call to reach out to that might be able to help. Or, you know, listening ear is probably one of the most important things. I want to share with you a story today that I shared with the Wednesday night crew that I heard this week that just really touched my life. And I think I might have messed it up a little bit Wednesday night, but I want to try again this morning. This was called the Jesus story about the barber. A man was getting his hair cut one day in the barber shop. And he was sitting in the chair, and he had the apron tied around his neck, and the barber was working on his hair, making him nice and pretty. And they were in casual conversation about sports, whatever it could have been. And as the haircut went on, the conversation grew more and more in depth, and the point of God came up. Well, and the barber just looked and held his head down as he was cutting the hair, and he said, I don't believe God exists. And the man just sat there, and he was a deacon in his church. He knew very good and well that God existed. But the barber right there said, I just don't believe God exists. So the man getting his hair cut turned to him and said, why? Why would you say such a thing? It hurts our ears when we hear people say that, especially when we've seen all the good he's done in our lives. And the barber just said, it feels like I've seen too much with all the terrorism, the hatred, the war, the pain, everything that goes on in this world. I don't see how a loving God could support all that. Oh, and the man was perplexed. I mean, it tore his heart out. And the barber was almost pouring his heart out because he didn't understand too. So the man who was getting his hair cut didn't say a word. He just sat and pondered. And the barber finished his haircut and he apologized. He said, I didn't mean to upset you. And the man, the barber said, I didn't mean to upset you. And the man told him, he said, it's okay. I'm going to go and pray is what I want to do next. So he didn't respond. And that's okay if we don't respond. So he said he, He went right outside the barber shop and went to the first bench that he saw when he sat down. And he said a small prayer to God that said, "Lord, help me answer this for this barber." That was it. And he looked up and opened his eyes. Well, he said it wasn't not even a minute later that he said he saw this man walking past with long, unkempt, not washed hair that was just everywhere, just very, very ratty. And you could tell he needed a haircut so bad. And he walked past him and the man just looked at him. And then the next one that came by was a man with a very same scenario. Long hair, very natty, unkempt, needs a haircut, needs to be cleaned up, and a beard that was the same way, that was just everywhere. And he needed to be cleaned up. So the man sitting there said, "Thank you, Lord, for answered prayers." So the man got up exactly where he was sitting, and he walked back into the barbershop. He slung open that door and walked right in there and looking at him. The man was sitting there cutting another person's hair, and he said, "Did I mess up?" He said, "No, I don't believe barbers exist." That's what he told him. I don't know if y'all have heard this before. This is inspired by Linda Threlkill. And he says, "I don't believe barbers exist." Man turned around his comb and his scissors and he looked at him. "How can you even say such a thing? I'm doing hair right now. I just worked on you. I made you beautiful. You're all cleaned up now." And he said, "No, barbers don't exist." Man said, man got up. He said, the barber said, "How can you say such a thing? I'm right here. I just worked on your hair." The man said, "If barbers did exist, there wouldn't be people walking around with long, unkempt hair and scraggly beards and everything else that comes. Everybody would be clean cut." And the barber said to him, "Oh, no, 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 no. Wait a minute. You can't blame me for all those people because they simply haven't come to me. My door is open. All they have to do is come to me." And the man said, "Exactly. If we had more people come to Jesus, oh, amen, there wouldn't be so much pain and hatred and things going on in the world that we see today. If everybody went to Jesus." That's what he was saying. He was saying exactly, well, just because people won't come to Jesus when they need to come to Jesus, what holds people out of church the most? They're worried about something they did 10 years ago. I'm serious. This is what it goes down to. Because my grandmother's mother's cousin, we did something bad down the river, and I don't want anybody to know that, but the person sitting in the church might know about that. He gonna rat me out. No, that ain't gonna happen. They don't even remember. They don't remember what I preached about last week. It's okay, you're covered. I'm telling you. Benny and them said, "Amen." We don't remember. They haven't been to Jesus. Look at after what happens. Let's look here. Let's finish it up. He says, look at what 3:11-16 says. He said, "While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. So when Peter saw this, he said to them, 'Fellow Israelites, why does this even surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if it is by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed and you disowned him before Pilate. Though he had decided to let him go, you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you." Oh, he's giving it back to him right now. "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this by faith in the name of the name made strong. It is Jesus' name, and the faith that comes through him has completely healed him, as you all can see. We serve a God who is the greatest of all time. You can take that to the bank, because I promise you, when your day comes up on this end and you wind up in glory and you're standing before the throne of God, you will answer for each and every sin. You'll have to get in line behind me though, amen. You will. But that is why we serve such a wonderful and such a powerful God, that he says just like that. And that's exactly what Peter and what John were doing. They were allowing God to use them. They were on mission for Jesus. As we start our VBS tonight, you think about this right here. Think about this right here. The Holy Spirit in you will open your eyes to see the people. It is the time to follow Jesus. It is the time to be on mission for him. If you aren't today, become a follower of Christ is number one. Live with your mission in mind. Number two. Three, live with the Spirit of God leading and guiding you is what you need to do. That we all need to take our minds off of the little day-to-day stuff that happens, that bogs us down, that takes our minds away from Jesus, and look at the bigger picture of what we're doing and who we're serving. And number four, Jesus is calling you. He made us to serve him. Amen. Amen. He did. He did. As we start our VBS tonight, my prayers for these little children, our workers, our servants, everybody who's helping, let's have the servant's heart. Let's remember that and remember the bigger picture of who we're serving. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you, Lord, for Miss Martha Kay and her example this morning, Father. She fired me up, Lord. She did. With a simple letter, Father, just expressing her feelings and love for you. Lord, may we all do that, dear God. That we need to be closer, dear Lord. That we do see a lot of things going around, Father God. But we need to remember that people need to come to you. Lord, help us to do exactly what Peter and John did, just by being on mission, keeping our eyes and ears opened. Lord, forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us of our sins when we do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing. But Father God, be with us, dear Lord. Let us grow closer to you this week, Father God, by building on the rock, which is you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. These things I ask in your most precious and holy, holy name. Amen. As